Well, hello and welcome, everybody. This is your host, Ken D. Foster. I want to welcome you to the Heal It Show today. Have you noticed we have an identity crisis in America? You might be going, what? An identity crisis? Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, there is many people out there that define themselves by their careers, by their houses, by their friends, by their social connections or social roles. They identify themselves as such and such on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, you know, wherever, right? You know, that's not who we are. I mean, I know inside of some of you, you're feeling this emptiness. You're feeling like, you know, we got to chase the next, you know, make more money, have more time, make, you know, make something greater. You know, is life really about that? Well, today we're going to address that because a lot of you have an emptiness, like I mentioned, inside. And what is that emptiness? What is that? What's that hole you're trying to fill with more shopping, with more food, with more sex, with more watching more social media, you know, watching more TV? What's that emptiness you're trying to fill, right? Well, I say it's the soul. There's a part of us that we have to fill ourselves up with the presence of God, with the presence of Jesus, with the presence of love, right? And if you're not, then you're chasing. You continue to chase. And, you know, you ever tried eating your way to health? Well, most people don't understand that principle, and what happens is that they eat their way into disease, not health, right? You know, health takes it takes guidance, it takes wisdom, it takes intuition, and you have to educate yourself to be able to have health in this world. You know, most of the world is not healthy mentally, emotionally, physically, or spiritually. Why is that? Well, again, we haven't taken the time to reconnect with our spiritual self, our soul, our God, our Father. We just haven't. And as a result of that, you can see the results, you know. Poor thinking, lack of spiritual connection leaves clues. Doesn't take long to look at the clues, right? Turn on, you know, after Charlie Kirk's death, we had a lot of people celebrating. That's a clue. That's a clue that we have an emptiness inside, right? You know, people used to go to church, right? And they'd feel that connection, that love, that joy together with one another. In fact, you probably saw that at Charlie Kirk's memorial service if you happen to watch it. You felt the energy and connection of all these people around the world, not just at the stadium, but all over. And if you felt that, if you felt that compassion, that love was there, you're part of the solution. You are connected. You feel that love in your heart. You are connected to that. And for those of you, I hope there's some of you that are listening right now that maybe you had a reaction to this guy's passing and you went, oh, yay, our side won. Well, you listen, if you did, it's, you know, sometimes we have with those experiences, we go, wait a second. Is that connect to my values? Is that connect to who I am? You know, you can question that. You can ask that. It's okay. We make mistakes. But, you know, if you're not aligned with your true values, right? What are your true values? Don't you want to follow truth and love and compassion and caring, help, hope, you know, harmony, peace? Those are all qualities that live within the soul, live within the spirit, live within the teachings of what Charlie Kirk was all about. Okay. So this is a call today to, you know, if you're feeling that yay, hey, just self-reflect. Now listen, if you can't self-reflect, guess what's gonna happen? Well, you're gonna be the ones that keep chasing everything, keep shopping, keep running, keep going. Overeating, you know, over-exercise, over whatever, because you're trying to fill that hole. It won't be filled by any of that. Sorry. I mean, maybe that's good news for you. But so if you have, you know, if you have some of the symptoms that I'm talking about here, right, or you're feeling, you know, maybe you're not feeling fulfilled. Maybe you're not feeling happy. Maybe you're not feeling a sense of peace and love and harmony in your life consistently. Yeah, sure, you can love something for a minute. You can love when you go buy a new car, you love it for a second. You buy a new purse, you love that, right? But how long does that last? It doesn't last for long. Well, welcome back, everybody. This is your host, Ken D. Foster. And as I promised, I have a very special guest, Terry Modica. Terry, welcome to the show today.
Thank you. Thank you so much for inviting me.
So those of you that don't know Terry, she's the executive director and co-founder of Good News Ministries of Tampa Bay. And she's which is a global Catholic outreach she launched with her husband, Ralph, in 1995. A pioneer in online evangelization since 1996. She's an author, speaker, spiritual director, and prolific writer of daily reflections and other works that have people growing closer to Christ and live a spirit-empowered life. With a degree in theology and certifications in personal ministry, Terry has served the church in numerous parishes and diocese roles since her conversion, since her conversion to Catholicism in 1977. And her powerful testimony of encountering Christ in the Eucharist and being drawn into the transformative relationship with God the Father, the Blessed Mother, continues to inspire people worldwide. And I hope it'll inspire my audience today. All right. So, where do we start? Oh, let's just start with why did you become a Catholic? And what were you before that?
Well, I was the daughter of a mainstream Protestant denomination, a minister of that. My dad was United Methodist for a while, became Presbyterian, and I did not grow up with a good relationship with my dad, and I was seeking something more. You know, I grew up being taught about Jesus. He was my best friend, but I got involved in some stuff that was very bad when I was a teenager, and really it took me in the wrong direction, and my faith just went out the window. And so I realized I had something missing in my life. You know, there was like you were talking about at the beginning of this show, there was an emptiness inside that, you know, I was hungering for God to reveal himself to me and to show that he really cared about me. And a few years later, I learned that there's a direct connection between my relationship was with my human dad and my ideas about who God really is. And that turned into, I didn't know who I really was. And, you know, I wanted to do something important, you know, in this world, make a difference. And, I had the desire to help people, but I had no idea what to do with it. And I was very self-centered at the same time, because when you are not in a good relationship with God, you know, it's so easy to be self-centered, and it's easy to be self-centered even when we have a good relationship with God.
I hear you. You know, it's interesting with you. So your father was a preacher, and then you went to the occult, the dark side. My dad was a cop. I believe I was paroled into his custody this lifetime. So my dad was a cop, and I went out and did a lot of, you know, things that cops chase around, right? You know, so it's interesting how we kind of rebelled, but at the same time, you know, we both realized that that didn't work. That lifestyle didn't work.
Yeah, and when I was preteen, I had asked my parents why didn't see miracles today, and you know, because I'm like looking around and I'm seeing the world back then in the '60s and early '70s being a real mess, and compared to today, boy, different. It's a lot easier, but I was like, we need the supernatural And in Sunday school, I learned all about, you know, these stories in the Bible where God did something supernatural, healed, or, you know, parted the water, walked on water, all kinds of cool stuff. And my parents' response, their answer to me was, well, we don't have miracles today because that was just to get the church started. And I'm thinking, something's not right about that. We still need miracles today. So I went off looking on my own. It was supernatural. And the place where I found it was the occult. And that's what really messed up my life. So finally, a friend, after I was a newlywed, a friend told me about his Catholic faith and that the Eucharist, the communion, I was used to communion services where I felt close to Jesus during it. But he said that there was a miracle that happened every time we celebrate Mass, that a piece of bread and a piece, you know, a cup of wine turned supernaturally into God himself. And it was deeper and more tangible than what I had grown up with in understanding what communion was. And the idea of a miracle happening every time you go to church, you know, was just, that's what got me really interested in the Catholic Church. Right. And so my husband was an ex-Catholic. And so we began exploring, you know, going to Catholic Church to see, this is where we felt like we could fill the holes that we were aware of in our lives, in our hearts. And in no time at all, I was wanting to become Catholic because there was God right in front of me.
Yeah. You know, I grew up Catholic, and I went to church probably, for eight, nine, actually I was held back in second grade. So for 9 years, I attended church every single day. And some people ask me and they look back and they say, Ken, you know, did you like that? Was that good? You know what? I felt when I was there, I felt the presence of God in me. I didn't know what it was at the time, but I felt it and it felt good. And that's why I kept going. I didn't have to go every day, but I wanted to go. And, you know, it's, you know, this church isn't about, you know, specific religions, you know, in it, but, you know, it's about finding God in your life. Because if you can't find it, you're lost. You're a lost shepherd. You're a lost sheep. Sheep, I guess. You're not the shepherd. You're the sheep. You're a sheeple, right? And what a sheeple do, they basically follow whatever out there that makes them feel good. That's what I get. You know, it's like, being on the internet makes me feel good. You know, attacking somebody makes me feel good. Drinking alcohol makes me feel good. Oh, having sex, lots of sex, that's good. Oh, you know, going out and eating whatever I want, that makes me feel. So it's a lost. We've disconnected from the presence that lives within each heart. And, you know, I know that, you know, studying some of the, you know, I'll tell you a quick story. I don't tell this on air, but this is important, I think, because we're talking about waking up. I want my audience to wake up. When I was 19 years old, I got arrested for possession of marijuana. It was the first time that it wasn't my fault. It really wasn't. But I got arrested. I got thrown in jail, and I went to, it was a Friday. I went to the judge and I said, hey, will you let me out? I've never had been arrested for anything like this. Let me out, you know. And he said, no, you're going to county jail. Well, as a Catholic growing up, I always wore St. Christopher medal. Always. St. Christopher, I prayed for St. Christopher protected me. I've always. And he was always part of my life. So I go to jail, right? And now judge says, you're gonna go to county jail for the weekend. Before we can have you stand trial, I guess. Oh, they put me in a holding cell, and sure enough, there's this guy in the holding cell. There's 40 men here. They're all going on a bus to the county jail, and there's a there's a man down there, and he's got a Bible in his hand. And I walk up to him, and his name is Christopher. I say, oh, I, what are you doing here? I ask. And so I'm, you know, helping people that want to, you know, help themselves and take their lives to the next level. I said, oh, that's me. What do I need to do that? He says, well, you have to get on your knees and you have to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And I'm, well, I've been baptized. I've already done that. I don't need to do that. But then something hit me and I thought, you know, I'm just going to do that. So I walked over and I asked, I said, yeah, okay, I'll do that. I'll get on my knees in front of these 40 guys, right? I had to collapse my ego, be humble for a moment and accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And as soon as I did that, all of a sudden, the jailer came to the door, right? Could have been a coincidence, but I don't believe in coincidences. And he says, Ken Foster, you've been released. You are free. And he opens the door. And I get off my knees, and I look at Christopher, and I say, what are you going to do? He says, this is what I do. I go to other jails, and I do the same thing. And I said, thank you. And I turned, and there was this energy that went around these men, and they were hanging out. They looked like gargoyles. They're hanging out, and they moved away as I walked out of the door to freedom. And, you know, and then I decided to really find out what God was. Who is God? What is this? What happened, right? I read the Bible from cover to cover, right? And I, you know, if you were around me at that time, you don't want to be around me because I'd be talking to you about converting you to finding the Lord. So I tell that, you know, it's, I've never told this on air, quite frankly. But I tell that because this is the time of awakening. You don't have to have my awakening. You know, I was in a lot of pain and misery and suffering, but I asked and I prayed and I woke up. And I think that's what we're talking about here. Kathy has a book out and we're going to be talking about it because this book, I believe, can change your life, can change the way that you see your life and help you to step into a connection with God the Father. So I'll be right back, and Kathy will talk about that.
Gary.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears. Beef and Skittles. Cider with Rosie. Common or garden. Ant and deck. Fish and chips. Mum and Dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Well, I want to welcome you back again to the Heal It Show today, and just want to encourage you to go to our YouTube channel, and if you haven't already, go ahead and subscribe to YouTube so you can not only share this message with your family and friends, you won't ever miss a show, and you can see that at youtube.com/@thecouragenetwork, youtube.com/@thecouragenetwork. All right, hope you do that. All right, my guest is Executive Director and Co-Founder of Good News Ministry, Terry Modica, not Kathy. Sorry, Kathy. So, Terry. Boy, I don't know. I got Kathy on the brain. What? My sister's name is Kathy, and, you know, she's a wonderful Catholic. She loves the Catholic tradition, and so do I. I love it. I love the traditions. All right, your book. You got this amazing book out right now. And we're going to put it on screen. It's called The Father's Heart. And let's talk about that a little bit. Why The Father's Heart? Why the title? Why did you write this? And let's start there.
Okay, yeah. The Father's Heart, the subtitle is Meet the Real Abba Father, because this is actually the first of three books. And they are actually workbooks. It's space to write in, and it's great for group discussions or personal journaling. And, you know, it's because we don't know who God the Father really is. I want people to meet the real God the Father. Of course, our brains can't handle who he really is. But what we think we know he is. Well, let me give you a story from my life. I was... I had my conversion, and I was into it for a couple of years, and the idea that God wasn't answering my prayers, I was praying for those miracles that I'd asked my parents, where are they, you know, and I just felt like praying wasn't getting me very far. It wasn't making anything happen. And so I'm like, God, where are you? This was the beginning of when I was coming into an understanding that I did not know who I really am, because I didn't know who God the Father really is. And, you know, we were created by God the Father. We are loved by God the Father. We're nurtured by God the Father. We're cherished by God the Father. And I was thinking of him, as most people do, as, well, God, Jesus is my savior. God the Father is the disciplinarian, you know. And so I just need to, you know, how can I expect him to do nice things when I'm in the thought process of God the Father is just watching for me to do wrong. And he's just waiting with a new creative punishment in mind. So I was driving along, and I was saying, God, you know, why am I thinking this way? What's going on? And he gave me an image of a box, just a regular cardboard box like you get from Amazon now. And he said, but it was all closed up. And he said, you've got me boxed in. Open the box. And so I visually opened up the box. And God became bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger until it was beyond what I could even imagine. And that was a turning point for me, because I began to really focus in on how different God the Father is than who I thought he was. Mm. We are shaped by the images of parenthood that the world gives us. If we had the best parents in the world, they weren't perfect. If we had a father who was traveling all the time, or divorced out of the family, or died while we were young, you know, he's not there for us. So we automatically project onto God he's not there for us. And, you know, so I took this to my spiritual director, and she led me through a visualization where Jesus helped me onto the lap of God the Father. You know, my father, my human father, never lap that I can recall. In tongue, was very holy. And, you know, I just was beautiful. And everything that came out of my mouth being turned to the heart. And he didn't hear my heart. And, you know, there were things that I asked for from Dad that I never got, you know, or I got belatedly. Like, for example, when I was old enough to ride a two-wheeler bike, I asked for one for Christmas, and I was told, no, you know, not yet, you're too young. Well, 2 years later, I'm the oldest, 2 years, and I have a sister who's 2 years younger than me. So 2 years later for Christmas, we both got a bike at the same time. And I'm like, why did I get delayed while she got it at the age I was first asking for it? You know, so this was my image of what God the Father was like. And that process began, that healing process that I went through began a lifelong journey of learning how to see God as he really is and know him and feel loved by him the way he really cares. And that became my book, you know, that became the Father's Heart. And like I said,
I have some questions about the Father's Heart, because I love your story. Thank you for sharing that. You know, in my world, God doesn't punish. We punish ourselves. We are the ones that go down the wrong tracks, and then we are the ones that feel guilt and shame and remorse. It's all an inside job. In fact, I kind of believe that, you know, when you go to the Last Judgment, right? You know, God's not there judging you. God's there reviewing with you what's going on, what happened, right? And, you know, and you're looking at it. I've seen enough near-death experiences of people that came, went to the other side and came back and met Jesus and met, you know, met their maker and realized that, you know, my God is a loving God. So I think there's part of this misidentification with the world, because I think people might even be afraid to meet the Father, you know, and know the Father, right? You know, but if you know the Father, you know the Father is filled with love, with compassion, with abundance, with joy, with peace, with harmony. You know, it's the essence of the divine, which we are all made in that image and have that potential to experience that. We have to realize that it's okay. Like, I think, you know, Terry is saying, you know, she had to learn, and I had to learn. I had to learn, wait a second, I'm not here to get punished and put down and denied. You know, God's denials are not God's delays aren't God's denials, right? You know, and I know that, and I know a lot of you know that. But, you know, it's that place we got to know God. So when somebody reads your book, okay, when they read about the Father's Heart, meet the real Abba Father, what do you think they'll walk away with?
Well, people have told me that it totally transformed their lives. And I've got lots of stories in there from not just my life, but other people's lives. And I've had people tell me, I didn't think I needed to read your book, but what I do in the book is to unpack, to help people focus in on their own struggles, their own upbringing, their own misconceptions of God. And where one person sees God as loving and compassionate, another person sees him as uncaring and not available. So my book is like having a spiritual director guide you through discovering where your misconceptions about God are, and how this affects your prayer life, how this affects how you see yourself. Because, you know, everybody seems to come into this world with low self-esteem. You know, everybody struggles with, I mean, even if they think they're the greatest person, they're a narcissist and they're the greatest person on the face of the earth, deep inside what they're battling is, if I don't believe that I'm this great person, then I'm really nothing. I'm really not a great person, and I can't bear to live that way. And so the idea of who we really are as God the Father, who he really is, how he sees us, by identifying all these little areas in our lives that we may have buried or overlooked or thought it was normal and didn't need to be addressed. So this one woman said to me, I didn't think that I needed to read your book, but oh my goodness, I now realize how much I've been missing out on in my relationship with God all these years. So it's transformative, because we need to find out not just what society tells us God the Father is or isn't, and what our experiences say he is or isn't, but also the the union, becoming united to the right image of who you are and the right image of who God is.
Yeah. I couldn't agree more with you around everything that you're saying. And I'm really glad that you've written that book to put that in the world. It comes in my world. It's when I made the commitment to feel the pain to make the change. So I started feeling like stopped chasing everything that made me, quote, feel good. I had to understand the why of it. And the why was to evolve, to grow, and most importantly, well, what happens when we evolve and we grow in wisdom? We grow in love. We grow, we start to connect with the love in our own hearts. Therefore, we can, and as we can expand that, we can love others. And I think that's even at the essence of your book. I don't want to put anything in your words in your mouth, but it seems like we're coming from a deep place of learning to love our fathers that may not have been great fathers, ourselves, love those parts of ourselves so we can increase our esteem. You know, what is esteem? You know, self-esteem is self-love, right? So how do we increase that? We're not talking about ego, getting, look how great I am. We're talking about humility. And humility is the ability to see reality clearly, right? So when we're humble, we can see things clearly. You can't learn until we become humble. You can't learn. Because if you know it all, what's there to learn? And I think this is what, this is what we're talking about here. It's increasing that. So talk to me about, your loving father today. I like to, in the book, you talk about it. So what is the essence of God the Father? What is the essence in the book that, as you write about it?
To answer that, I'd like to start with what the world's been telling us.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
If optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list, then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one super supplement brand, help you achieve that in the most convenient and comprehensive way possible. Clean, premium ingredients scientifically formulated to work in synergy to support immunity, energy, joints, heart health, sleep, emotional balance, and more. Benefit from the power, purity, and positivity of our award-winning powder sachets or our therapeutic capsule range. Use code RADIO15 at reviveactive.com and save 15% off today. Super supplements for a super you.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
You know, when you think, when you look at our sociological history over the past several decades, we've got a storyline that's been fed to us increasingly over the years. And a good way to use that, to understand that, is just to think about television shows. So, in the 50s, we had Father Knows Best. And by the 90s, it's father's a doofus and the kids know best. And, or father's not there at all. And, mothers have been treated a bit more kindly, but it's usually the kids who knew better than both the parents. And, it was all part of a societal trend to, well, let me, I'm not going to say to, as if there was a lot of purpose behind it. There was, but there was a lot of people who contributed to this without realizing what they were contributing to. But there was a real agenda that happened of family values disintegrating and families splitting up and people not knowing who God the Father really is, you know, because of this. And, you know, I say that one of the reasons why churches have had fewer and fewer people attending church over those, the last, say, let's say 60 years is because we don't know anymore who God the Father really is. And that's so key. I believe that, I firmly believe, and this is my passion. This is why I speak on this topic. This is why I wrote this series of books, is because society has gotten so screwed up. I mean, as we know with the Charlie Kirk assassination, for example, and other violence that we see today, the young men who are doing the killing, and it's mostly young men, they don't know a real good father image, and they don't know who God the Father really is. Even if they do an altar call, and, you know, like I think the memorial service for Charlie Kirk was absolutely awesome, but they did an altar call. How many of the people who responded to that turned their lives over to Jesus, watching it on TV even, how many of them are going to be able to continue this journey deeper and deeper into God's heart if they don't know God the Father? And if they don't know that he is not what the world has projected us to be, you know, it's the destruction of families, the destruction of our societies, you know, I think it all goes back to people don't know who God the Father really is. And it should be our mission to, first of all, get to know who he is for our own healing, and then to help other people learn it for their healing, which in turn will help heal our society.
Terry, I couldn't agree with you more on that. And, you know, it's interesting we talk about values. You talked about, you know, the values of the, you know, back in the 60s where the father knows best, and the values that, you know, that changed where the children know best, which is very interesting. You know, I know that children in our family were given the choices. In other words, the father wouldn't make the choice. Everybody asked the children, what's their choice? Do they want to go to a movie today? Do they want to live in a different house or move the residence? Do they want, the children were given the choice. Which to me is just that was the value. The value was we esteem our children higher than our fathers. And Kirk had the message. He was showing young men how to be a man. You know, he told them, you know, why don't you practice, I'm thinking about sex, and I'm thinking about, you know, he said, you know, be abstain from sex prior to your to marriage. He was talking about, you know, how a father can be a leader, how men can be a leader, how they go out and get jobs, and, you know, and secure the family and step into a leadership role. Boys are not taught that. You know, we had a lot of Peter Pans growing up. I mean, you know, if you don't know what I mean, go watch Peter Pan again. You know, he never grew up. And we have a lot of boys in society today that way. So I love your book. I love that it's all about the father. And let's find, you know, when you understand the father, you can be a father, but not until then. That's my
true. Yeah. True. Yeah. And we are living in an exciting time where I believe that, and Charlie Kirk, I think his ministry called Turning Point, it was very aptly named. I think we are at a turning point where young men are beginning to say, hey, wait a minute, I don't like the wishy-washiness of, well, whatever I think is right, whatever you think is right, and let's just agree to disagree. You know, they don't like the lack of brotherhood and that men used to have with each other in church and, you know, at work and whatnot. And that, like you said, boys, they're now the boys that are becoming young adults now, the Gen Z generation. Studies are showing that they are so fed up with the way things have been. They want to find their identity. They want to find their strength. They want to be the protectors. They have this innate, given by God, whether they realize it or not, this innate protectiveness, warrior nature, is supposed to fight for the family and fight for the good of society. And they have this instinct, and they haven't been shown what to do with it. So they're turning to organized religion in faster droves now, increasingly, than any previous in my lifetime generation of young men. It used to be more women than men in church, but this new trend is for more men to get involved, and the women
I couldn't agree more. And I think there's a piece with the women too. You know, women have been, you know, since the 60s, 70s, you know, we've brought feminism in, and that was a good thing. I think it was a good thing. So since the 60s, 70s, you know, we had feminism come in and, you know, empowering women. And I think that was a good thing. I think though, that it got to an extreme where now, instead of men and women coming together in a marriage, okay, you know, a lot of women decided, well, you know, I can do it all on my own. I don't need a man. I'm going to do this, you know, my way. And it, you know, there's, it's like, in, you know, how do you have co-leadership in a family? Okay, maybe you don't. Maybe we need one leader making decisions and both people discussing what that decision will be, okay, so we have a family unit that works. Because if the mom, and, you know, kids are smart, you know, the mom says, yeah, and the dad says, no, which one did they go to? They go to the mom. If the dad says yes, and the mom says no, they go to the dad. They split. So if we have split values, if we have split ways of thinking, if we don't know who the father is, if we don't understand that, I think we got a problem. And I think that's a lot of the problem is what we're defining here. And I think you have a solution. And the solution is the book. And I believe my audience needs to, if this is resonating with you, go and get Terry's book, The Father's Heart, Meet the Real Father, Terry Modica, M-O-D-I-C-A, for my listening audience, Terry Modica. You can get it on Amazon or wherever good books are sold. But go get the book. Learn what she's learned and expand your consciousness about what the father is. I love it.
Yeah, you know, you talk about feminism. There's the where it went too far is emasculating manhood.
Yeah, yeah.
And my husband used to, he passed away last year, and he was the other founder of Good News Ministries. And he used to love to tell people, we would have marriage retreats, for example, marriage preparation classes. And, you know, he used to love to say, okay, wives, you probably love this scripture in Ephesians. Husbands, you probably love this scripture in Ephesians where it says that, women, you must obey your husbands. And, you know, how many of you want to have this at your wedding? And the girls are going, no way, you know? And he says, but keep reading. Because then it goes on and says, husbands, love your wives the way Christ loves the church. And that means, how did Christ love the church? He went to the cross, you know? And he sacrificed so much for us. And so my husband used to like to tell his audiences that we were designed by God. The family unit was the designed by God to have an equalness about it, where the husband is Christ and for the household, and the wife is the church. The family is the church. The wife is like, you know, one of the leaders of the church, of that particular domestic church. Hmm. And boy, the guys have the bigger, more important, more difficult role of making sacrifices. And so he used to, the way our marriage was, you know, and I'm a rather strong personality. He was a quieter personality, but we developed from as soon as we became Catholic and studied these issues, we developed a marriage where we would both talk about the pros and cons of something that we were disagreeing on. And because he was willing to make sacrifices, and because I was willing to, when scripture talks about obey, it's not a mindless yes, sir, you know, it's I understand now. And so, of course, I want to do what you're saying, because what you're promoting makes sense. Yeah. So that's where the equalness comes from. And this is what families haven't they've been missing out on, because the father, you know.
And I want to say this to the dads out there. Okay. So, you know, when you're discussing the issues with your wife, and, you know, that takes courage, okay? You got to be fearless with that. Discuss the things that you may not want to discuss with her, but you need to discuss it, okay? And then she says, well, you make the decision. You make the decision and you're wrong, because you won't be right 100%. And then she comes back and says, I told you so. What do you do with that? I'll tell you what you do. You tune in and you start listening even deeper to her intuition, and you develop your own intuition in a greater way. We're here to come together in a marriage that we glorify God, okay? You don't glorify God by being right, okay? You glorify God by taking your life together and creating this beautiful tapestry of all everything that you grow together, your family, your community, your church, your business, you grow it together, and it becomes a beautiful tapestry to glorify your father. That's my understanding of it. I'm out of time, Terry. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
It's been beautiful. I love this discussion, and much success in your book. We're going to put it up on screen one more time just so everybody sees it, right? So go get it, The Father's Heart. The Father's Heart. All right. Well, till next time. And for all of you that are listening to this show, I want to thank you for listening. Thank you for being here with us. And remember this, you know, whether it's mental, emotional, physical, or spiritual, you can heal it. Just get on the journey.